Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is April, and I will be your host tonight with Freaks and Geeks Paranormal Radio Show. I'm sitting here. I'm a little thrown off my game right now, and honestly, it's because Christopher Bajalski is about to sit here and think he can watch a hockey game while we're simultaneously broadcasting.
Nice.
Excuse me. I think the fuck not.
I turned it off, babe.
I think the fuck not.
I was just, they just scored. I was trying to see the replay.
What game are you watching?
The only game that matters.
Time to choose.
I turned it off. It's the end of the second period anyway, so it's the perfect time.
And ma'am, I saw that you were watching a TV show. Excuse me.
That ended at 9 o'clock. And actually, it's PBS, so it ended at 8:52.
Okay. All right. I'll take it. It's fine.
As long as you support your local PBS, that's all that matters.
I mean, I've been sitting here. No,
absolutely.
I've just been sitting here, you know, hanging out, waiting for this to begin. Because last week we didn't get to come. We didn't get to broadcast. We didn't get to have our show. And we had a hell of a show for everyone. So our thoughts now are that we are going to create some sort of a secondary broadcast, if you will. We're going to try a few new things out. So,
yeah, it's been a hot minute. We've been off the air for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
That's crazy.
We missed the friendiversary too.
Yeah, man, it has been so long. I'm so thrown off my game. It's crazy.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Is Mercury in retrograde?
I don't think so.
Not yet, but I think it is supposed to be later this month.
Yeah,
everything is so fucked up. So, like, I just keep thinking, like, over the last 2 weeks, I wonder if Mercury is in retrograde.
No, I don't think it's in retrograde at the moment.
What's that got to do with the presidency in China?
It actually will kick off again on Halloween and last through November 20th.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
I mean, can somebody clue me in on what retrograde Mercury has to do with stuff being bad?
Mercury being in retrograde is basically, it's like...
So Mercury was the god of communication, the Hermes, Mercury, same dude.
Mm-hmm.
So like anything with communication, anything with like contracts or any kind of business stuff... Basically, just like everything goes haywire, stuff goes wrong, doesn't work out, breaks down.
So it's like getting a tarot card upside down, if you believe
in some cases. I mean, like, not all of them. Not all of them are negative on the reverse.
Like the cha-cha slide?
Like the tower.
reverse?
The cha-cha slide.
I think the tower is the one that I would... definitely say is probably the worst of all the cards.
Now, what's the best time?
I mean, whatever time you make it. I'm sorry, I've got a
Saturday morning. Like, that's the best time because you don't have to work the next day. You can just lie in bed.
Oh my God, Christopher. No, it's, you know, like there's always going to be something in retrograde or something moving. I mean, that's the way the cosmos works. So,
yeah, so
there's
right
never
now,
like
Uranus, Neptune, and Chiron are all in retrograde.
Yeah, so when there's never a time when something isn't in retrograde.
Uranus is never in retrograde.
And really, all retrograde means is to us, when we look up at the heavens, it appears that these things are moving backwards just because of the way that they orbit the sun and the way that we're kind of all traveling through space.
But they're not really moving backwards.
Exactly. It's just the illusion, what we're seeing, what it looks like to us.
So, if you're... let me ask another question. So, I'm sorry. I'm taking it off the rails.
No, it's
already.
Okay. Absolutely.
You want me to shut up?
Go for it. No, okay. By all means, all right. Go for it.
Okay, so if you are a zodiac and you're ruled by a certain planet and that planet is in retrograde, can that make shit go haywire?
Okay, so here's the question that I need to ask you, a supplementary question, if you will. So are we talking about your sun sign or your moon sign?
Sun sign, not moon sign, sun sign.
We've done,
or your
rising
sign. Basically, your whole chart has to be taken into consideration.
Right, exactly.
Okay,
rising
so
sun,
it's
sorry.
Not just your sun sign. You have to consider moon sign and everything else, okay?
We've gone full
Got
moon.
Got it.
So,
sorry.
Yeah, because, and Carrie, correct me if I'm wrong here, this is part of the astrology that I'm not that, like, keen on, because I just don't know enough about it, which I need to learn. So if anybody out there knows what's up, help me, help your girl.
Yeah, we need to,
anyway.
We need to find a book. We need to find a book.
So the way that I've always been taught is that, yeah, really. The way that I've always been taught is that your sun sign, or like the sign that you were born under, that is your public persona. That's like what mm-hmm. you are displaying to other people. But your moon
okay.
sign or your rising sign would be what you internally actually are.
Yes. And then your rising sign is kind of like the overall picture of everything. So I'm a Libra sun sign, Libra rising sign, and then my moon sign is Taurus. So I'm double air, and then I have an earth sign that kind of helps me stay grounded.
I don't know anything about me except I'm a Pisces.
I believe that I'm a double Virgo, and that my moon sign is either Aquarius or Pisces. My moon sign is Pisces. So.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. Me and Tara have the exact same astrological makeup. We're both cusp babies. We both have the same like moon signs.
Her name is Tara Reed now.
Oh, Tara Reed, excuse me. Yeah, that's right. Congratulations, Tara.
I need you to respect.
Congratulations, Tara. Thank you for letting us be kind of a part of your special day.
So I can look up and see what everybody is here.
Well, you need our times of birth, don't you?
Yes and no. I can approximate just for these purposes.
I was born in
the evening. My sun sign is Aquarius, and I was born in the morning.
I think I
can vary
like
by
10.
The minute. I was born at 9:12 a.m.
I think I was born at around 11:30.
Stacey, I think your sun sign is, honestly, I see aspects of it in you for sure, because you really like Aquarius, really doesn't like to be bored. They fucking hate being bored. They always want something new.
Do.
They always want something different. They like, you could tell them that you are a member of like a cult, and they would be like, oh, tell me everything. And that's so you. That's something that is 100% you.
April,
but
your
they
moon
also
is an Aquarius.
Is an Aquarius. Okay, I knew it was like something right there. Right there beside each other. Aquarius. Well, that could that holds as well. And the rest of what I'm about to say holds true too. But like one of the hallmarks of Aquarius is they have a almost a well-known pattern of non-commitment. Like they don't like commitment. They're scared of commitment. Like they don't want to be locked down to one thing. I don't see that in you.
Yeah. Yeah. So my moon sign is Gemini.
Which that makes more sense to me.
Twins?
Well,
yeah.
It's like
it's duality,
two.
Right? So there's two sides. So that
Stacey?
Makes a lot more sense.
February 15th.
Oh, you're like almost a Pisces Aquarius too.
Christina, what time you were born?
10 in the evening.
Okay, hold on. Stacey,
on a Thursday.
What year were you born?
86.
That's
for him.
PII.
Can you encrypt that message?
I have no idea what that means.
I'm texting you.
It's like if you ever have to send like personal information through email, you have to encrypt it.
78. I know what encryption means. 78?
Oh, you don't know what PII means?
No.
We're asking, it's personal.
It's personally identifiable information.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
There,
I sent it in
our
group chat.
Okay.
I sent it in our group chat.
Well, everybody knows when me and April were born.
Yeah.
The Russians have it now.
Yeah, well, the Russians had it anyway.
Should it? I think if Panera knows when I was born, then I think everyone in the world can know when I was born.
I mean, everybody knows what year it's on our t-shirts. Oh, sure, so you are an Aquarius, and then your ascendant is Libra.
Ooh, that makes
arising
so much sense.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Girl.
I don't know what any of this means.
So Libras are known for, which is funny because Carrie doesn't, this doesn't follow for Carrie at all, but Libras are known for being very dramatic and like, they're known for being like,
they love the finer, down.
Yeah, dude, you're not like this at all. They love like the finer things in life and like you give them something that sparkles and they'll entertain themselves for like 10 minutes. Which is great for a Libra.
Alrighty.
Which is why, so I'm a cuss baby, so I've got that Libra in me as well.
Oh, I'm well aware you like shiny things.
I like shiny things.
I love.
And I have a flair
things.
For the dramatic, for sure.
I'm a very Virgo Libra.
You're more Virgo than
dramatic,
I am,
April.
I think. I'm fucking dramatic as shit.
You just don't see her behind closed doors.
Chris, she said 10 a.m. or 10 p.m.
PM.
Let me tell y'all about my little dramatic streak. I got pissed at Chris yesterday.
Okay.
I got so pissed at Chris because I got my nails done, right? And they were really awesome. And my nails took about 20 minutes, but they were gorgeous. My
they
friend
look
that
awesome.
I went with. Huh?
They do look awesome.
Oh, yeah, they're gorgeous, right? So my friend, though, that went with me, her nails took like 2.5-3 hours. Like,
oh,
she
God.
Drew these things on a notepad. She came up with them herself. She drew all the designs out herself and then took them to. And then the lady that owns the shop that I love, I love her. She's awesome. Shout out to Rachel if you're listening. So on my buddy's little picture of her nails, this woman writes, you know, like, oh my gosh, this client is so awesome, blah 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 blah, all this like really nice stuff. And then on mine she writes, attention, if you have any special requests, you need to let us know ahead of time so that we can give you your artwork, you know, the proper time. Now I'm sitting here like, I know that she did not just call me out because mine took like 20 minutes to do and I paid the exact same amount that my friend did. That should tell you some shit. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like $200. Like, I'm not going to fuck around. It was quite a bit. So I say, hey, you need to tell my friend that. So then she messages back and she's like in this thread and she messages back and she's like, well, she's a VIP. So, you know, she can be a little extra. And I'm like, oh. Because last I checked, we paid the same price. And you did half the shit that you did on her on me. So
right.
What's up with that? So I got mad at Chris because he wasn't also angry at this woman.
I'm so upset.
So yeah, I can be a little bit of a Libra.
God. That's funny.
Wow.
I got some Libra tendencies.
Let me hit
so
you
I'm
with this.
Oh, go ahead.
Christopher is a Pisces sun. Cancer moon, Libra rising.
That is so accurate. Oh my God.
I don't know what any of that means.
Well, it 1000% explains why you were an actual angel baby.
It 1000% explains why you're so sensitive. You're
the most
sensitive man I've ever met.
The most sensitive. Every sensitive.
And not only that, but this man, I have, other than my mother, who is also a Cancer, I have never met anyone in my life that can carry on a grudge the way that this man can.
Oh, man. Sorry, Kelly, but you should meet my sister. She's a Taurus. Oh, God.
So would you like to explain what those three things mean?
Okay, so the fact that you are a Pisces means that you are, yes, a playful little fish.
Yay.
And that you kind of go with the flow, and that
you're also
you,
a sensitive water baby and cry.
Yeah,
when
you're
in reverse gears.
Exactly. The fact that you have Cancer rising. So Cancer is the most sensitive of all of the zodiac.
My oldest child is a Cancer.
Ugh.
That makes sense.
My mother is a Cancer. And if you upset a Cancer, they will stay angry with you forever. And it's very easy to upset a Cancer because they feel like everything they do, they put their heart and their emotions on the line. And when you don't reciprocate in a way that they think you should reciprocate, they get hurt. And then that hurt turns into like them basically just cutting you out of their lives. What was the last? Oh, Libra. Libra means that you're dramatic.
Yeah.
So so on the inside, you're super dramatic. And you also are bougie.
I mean, that's not totally inaccurate. So.
Wait,
so,
what do you mean also bougie? What do you mean also bougie? Who else is bougie?
No, I between the two of us, I'm probably the more bougie than April is.
Like Libra is very like creature comforts and like things to be nice and like beautiful things and...
We haven't even gotten anywhere close to today's subject.
No, we haven't. That's okay. That's all right. It's fine.
Wait, you don't think I'm bougie, do you? I'm not bougie,
ma'am.
Am I?
Ma'am, do you want me to answer that live over here?
See, but I'm
yeah.
a Libra. I'm a Libra and not at all bougie.
I think bougie, I think Carrie. So when I think bougie, I think Carrie.
Yeah, I definitely think Carrie. Carrie's the bougiest of all of us.
When I think dirt and mud people, I think Carrie.
No, I think, okay, so here's what I think. I think Carrie is bougie, like to the truest extent that one can be bougie. Carrie is bougie, but Carrie is not bougie over diamonds. Carrie is bougie over secondhand books.
Over information.
And information. So she's a different kind of bougie.
You know what? I really absolutely do appreciate beauty and everything.
Bourgeois.
Yeah, but bougie also means that you're humble, too.
Excuse me?
Like, you like fine things, but you're also, like, humble, doesn't it?
Not that I
know. I'm not bougie.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
I don't think I'm bougie. I'm not. I don't think I'm bougie.
It's not an insult.
It's not an insult. I think all four of us have been described as a Libra, which is bougie. All four of us got it.
Don't worry, I claim to be the bougiest.
Yeah, you
of
are
all.
The bougiest of all four of us. You're absolutely right about that.
It's not a lie.
Yeah, you kind of are. Like I think about what he wore to Gracie's first Holy Communion.
Holy
Remember
shit.
That?
My suit.
No, do I ever?
I like to look good.
I'll never forget that. I put that picture on Facebook in April. You're like Christopher, looking like a snack.
Yeah, Christopher, you can't wear that out. Can't wear that out. That's not
a red suit
for
jacket.
Me.
He had cufflinks on and everything.
Oh my God, that's just for me, Christopher.
Oh man, see, look, y'all got me on this birth chart stuff. Now I looked up Aslan's, and she's a Cancer Sun, Scorpio Moon, Cancer Rising.
You
Explain
are
so much.
You may you rest in peace.
Too late. I'm already dead.
Good luck. Good luck with that
one.
Man. You know who else should rest in peace?
My grandfather?
No. No.
What are you saying?
La Lorena?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
La
Llorona.
Oh,
yeah. La Llorona?
Oh, my God. La Llorona.
Two L's together in Spanish is a Y.
Yeah.
I know that it makes a Y, but I can't make that roly Y.
Llorona.
La Llorona.
La Llorona.
You can find her on the shelf next to the Rice-A-Roni.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it's the Southern Texas street.
Every time I say something fucked up at work, so I'm trying to learn Spanish at work because it'll help with so many things. And my coworkers, they help me out all the time, including Nelson, who is he's our Spanish speaker. He's the guy that I always go to whenever we have questions about, like, hey, how do I say this?
What does this mean?
Yeah, how do I say this, and what can I say here? So he's our guy. But every time I say something fucked up, like La Llorona, he's like that. Oh, you got it. Yep, that's right. You got that. That's that Espanol Nuevo. Espanol Nuevo. every time I fuck it up, he's like, that's that Espanol Nuevo.
Nothing like a southern accented Virginia woman trying to speak Spanish.
That's what he does too. He's like, girl.
Oh, my God.
Have you heard of La Llorona?
Oh, my God. Oh, there's one that was super complicated. It's E-L, right? So L. And then it's C-U-C-U-Y.
Kukui.
Right? How do you say that?
C-U-Y.
Kukui.
L-Kukui.
Kukui.
It is Kukui. I was like, kookie? Kookie? El kookie.
Today's episode is brought to you by the word...
El kookie?
Kookie.
El kookie.
April, I would love to get drunk and do a Rosetta Stone with you.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, I've got... what is it? I've got the Babbel for Spanish.
Yeah.
I've been slowly learning.
I've got
Very
Babbel
slowly.
For Polish.
I took 7 years of Spanish in school, and I can read it, but I can't speak it.
I know plenty of people that do it like this, especially people I work with for my reserve duty that can speak it, and like they'll speak it fluently with other people, like on the phone and stuff. It's just like I don't.
But they can't write it.
Oh no, I'm sure they can write it.
Nelson can't write it.
That's weird.
Well, I mean, he can write it, but he doesn't understand grammar because, you know what I mean? Because he grew up
the grammar
is
completely different.
Yeah, he grew up speaking it in his household, but he never really learned how to write it necessarily. Like, he can do it. He can write the words down, but, like, he doesn't know how to write it.
He just makes, like, baby sentences?
He just makes, like, baby sentences. He makes run-on sentences.
Interesting.
That's because conversational language and the regular, like, language are completely different. Like, so just even think about the way we speak English. I mean, we use all
kinds
of different words. Yeah, English is impossible. So, but the grammatically correct way to put something is probably the complete opposite. I mean, at least I know it's a complete different way than I thought.
Well, I mean, there's so many, like, idioms and just, regional... slang and all that kind of stuff like that has to be changed. Like, I feel sorry for anybody trying to learn English.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Even just verb tense. Like, I had 7 years of French, and there's, like, 10 different tenses for verbs. It's, like, past perfect, future perfect. Like,
oh, yeah. Masculine,
it's
feminine.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, Spanish is kind of the same way.
And it's just hard.
Like, every country has a different dialect, and so, like, you have to figure out what dialect you want to learn, and that makes things really important, right? So, like, for Cubans, like, pinga is like penis, but for Mexicans, it doesn't mean that at all. Oh, I know lots of curse words now. So, like, pinga is like penis, but then it doesn't mean that at all in Mexican. In Mexican, it means like rolls or something, like a food, some sort of a food. It's like rolls with pastries and shit like that. So you'll have, like, stores that are literally called pinga, and then, you know, so it depends on where you are physically as to whether you're asking for penis or you're asking for rolls.
See, and that's why I feel bad for anybody, like, immigrating to the United States and going to Pittsburgh to learn English, because, like, of all the dialects, like, accents and crazy words, you're going to learn. You move to Pittsburgh and you try to figure out that fucking language. Like, good night. Like, good luck.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, the concept isn't much different than thinking, like, England, like British English versus American English or
yeah.
Australian English, to where
hillbilly.
Yeah, we have like same words that mean different things in those.
Right.
Things. But I'm eager to learn about La Llorona.
La Llorona.
Is that like my Sharona?
It's not like that. No.
My Bologna.
Okay.
Yes,
okay,
it is like that. It is like my
Bologna. I can't
see, but in Pittsburgh,
you
would say jumbo, so like it doesn't, you know, it doesn't resonate.
I can't believe that we have spent 25 minutes talking about bullshit.
I mean, we have talked about what signs we are. I'd say that's fairly important. Not everybody in internet land knows our deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah.
They know that we're all bougie and that I'm a very sensitive floppy fish.
And speaking of my Bologna, when I was a kid, I thought that Weird Al was my dad's long lost brother.
I wish Weird Al was my dad's long lost brother.
Okay, so the legend, as it's typically written, tells of a woman named Maria from a rural village. So I'm going to disagree with the fact that it's typically written this way, but we're going to go with it. Woman named Maria from a rural village. Young Maria, coming from a poor family, meets a wealthy nobleman and is charmed by him, as he is likewise charmed by her beauty. Both seemingly drawn together by fate, the nobleman proposed, and Maria immediately accepted, much to the happiness of her impoverished family. Maria and her new husband decided to build themselves a home on the outskirts of Maria's home village and set their roots. Eventually, Maria gave birth to a son and a daughter alike. Spending her time at home to care for the children while her husband traveled for work, over the years, Maria naturally grew older, and her husband acknowledged her less and less. Maria became older and her beauty faded. Maria understood why, knowing her husband was becoming less attracted to her. One day, as her husband returned for the final time, he was in the company of a younger woman, bid his children farewell, and utterly ignored Maria. Left behind to her spite, Maria found herself alone. Who the fuck gonna do... Anyway, wait.
What a dick.
Becoming angry and hurt over her husband's betrayal, Maria's rage manifested over her jealousy of her children. She took them to the river and drowned them in her moment of blind rage, their bodies washing away. Realizing what she'd done, Maria tried to recover the bodies of her children, but failed. Unable to live with what she'd done, Maria threw herself into the river, committing the two ultimate sins, murder and suicide. When Maria reached the gates of heaven, she asked for the whereabouts of her children, a question she was incapable of answering. As her punishment, heaven banned her from the afterlife until she could find her lost children. Stuck between life and death, Maria has since spent and will spend an eternity searching for her lost children. Some people have since claimed to see Maria upon the riversides or to have heard her crying for her children, earning her the name La Llorona. Cursed to her eternity, La Llorona now seeks out her missing children. However, she mistakes other children for her own whenever she finds them at night, kidnapping them. When she steals children in the night, she begs for heaven's forgiveness and drowns them, crying all the while. Those who have claimed to have seen her say she appears only in late evening or night alongside rivers or lakes, garbed in a black or white gown, her face veiled. Some people believe that those who fear the cries of La Llorona are marked for death or misfortune, much like the banshee's cry in Gaelic legends. Those who have heard her cries say she can also always be heard saying, "Ay, mis hijos," which means, "Oh, my children." When she is not snatching the children of others, she scrapes the bottom of rivers and lakes, looking for her children. Some also believe that one hears her wails and they sound near, she is actually far. And when she sounds distant, she is very near. Burra.
That's
creepy.
That last one seems odd to me.
Last one, what?
Like the you hear and she sounds close, but she's far away. But you hear her far away, but she's really close.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. That's weird. What I do know though is you can go on YouTube. And you can actually type in, like, cries of La Llorona, and there are several videos where there are people that have taped, like, this wailing woman who is just kind of...
Inconsolable,
wandering about. There's one of them that actually creeps the shit out of me.
Is there video with it or just audio?
There's video, but it's a security guard, and he's like... It doesn't show anything. It's just the woman crying, but it is inhuman sounding.
Does it sound like Bigfoot?
It does not sound like Bigfoot.
So now what country is this? I know we say Latin America, but I mean, is this mostly Mexico or is this like...
I mean, we have the Wailing Woman River down here.
So it's actually, it's pretty much all of Latin America, as well as even parts of New Mexico, Texas, Arizona. We have it here too. We actually have a creek that's about 20 minutes from the house called...
Wailing Woman Creek.
Or no, Woman Hollering Creek.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, ooh, Woman Hollering Creek.
You need to go sit there.
Yeah, so that
it
is
sounds
supposed to
like
be
my home.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be actually one of the legitimate origins of La Llorona is supposed to be Woman Hollering Creek, which is, like I said, 20 minutes from now.
If you go there at night, all you hear is just a woman going,
it's me.
It's impossible to place. So there's actually other stories, though. There's so many other versions to this story, and that's part of why it's so prolific. I mean, La Llorona is... something that if you walk up to almost any Hispanic person, they will know exactly what you're talking about because it's something that they're told. It's just like Bigfoot, right? So it's something that they're told from, you know, when they were little kids, along with Duende, which we can get into one day. We'll get into Duende, who's awesome. So La Llorona, in the version of the story that I enjoy most, she is this beautiful woman. And she grew up in this poor village, of course, and she has these two kids. Her husband had been killed or left her and basically left her as a single parent of these two children. Well, La Llorona didn't want to be a parent. She wanted to go get attention from the cantina men. So she would go to the cantina and she would leave her children alone at night, her very young children, I might add. She would leave them at home alone at night, and she would dance all night with these cantina men and make a quick buck or two and have her kicks. And that was all well and good until one day when she came home, she found her cottage was empty, and she ran down looking for her children, and she finally found their bodies in the river.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, and she actually, she supposedly raised an alarm and, got people to come and try and save her children, or her children couldn't be saved. There was some speculation that she actually drowned her children so that she could have freedom. And then because of her actions in life, she kind of became very depressed, and she did live out a period of time, but she eventually did succumb, and she threw herself in the river and drowned herself, and so she died. She goes up to heaven, and heaven says, we're not going to let you in because you have committed the sin against these two innocents. You are committed to roam the earth for the rest of eternity, and you may never come. You may never be with your children again. So she goes to the river, and then she kills anyone, not just children, but anyone she finds, because out of spite for her having to walk the earth. So if you think about it, right, so these are fables. It's not just folklore. It's actually a fable because it does have a lesson to it. The lesson here, obviously, is that when you have children, you have a commitment. You're committed to not your own desires and your own passions, but you're committed to them and making a life for them, because that's the life that's what you chose. That's what they chose. That's the situation you're in. And the other part of it would be, don't make irrational decisions. You need to wait and process your emotions before you fly off the handle and drown your children. So these are all really important fables for Latin American culture. I think they're cool as hell.
Yeah, that is Casey really cool.
Casey Anthony is the modern day La Llorona.
Casey Anthony is a dumpster, dumpster witch. She can die.
Apparently she's mulling over whether or not she wants to have more children. I pray to God, never again.
Unbelievable.
But so do you believe in?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that a mother's love is absolutely that powerful.
Well, in this case, I don't. In your variation of the story, it doesn't even sound like she had that much love. So.
So here's the thing about it. Here's why I say love. That woman might have loved those children, but her love for herself was more. In this case,
yes.
once that ultimate, however it happened, once that ultimate act had been committed and those children were dead, everything she wanted, everything, whether she wanted to dance in the cantinas or not, all of that lost its taste. Her guilt took over everything, and that is why she is La Llorona. And that stemmed from love.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, that's so... I totally agree with that and totally could believe in this, because I can't even imagine, you know, she went through, you know, with this story, this legend, she went through such this heartbreak and then created in the process an even more crushing heartbreak than she could have even imagined at that time. And then to spend eternity, you know, having to do that search and to deal with that guilt. Yeah, I'd be wailing too.
Yep. Ugh.
This is definitely a really interesting story, and I wonder how it ties back in to, like, where did it originate? Like, so I know South America, Latin America, but, like, where did it come from before that? Where is it? That's just like an area of great cultural mixing. Like, what stories from those cultures influence the story that we have now?
So I actually might have an answer for you. So we actually have the origin for La Llorona. And while commonly she's identified as Maria, there are old stories which also identify her as La Malinche, the Nahua woman who served the Spanish conquistador Hernan Cortez as an interpreter and a mistress. In La Malinche origin, many believe she was betrayed by Cortez, abandoned after she bore him a child so Cortez could marry a Spanish lady. In a rage and driven by Aztec pride, La Malinche resorted to acts of violence and vengeance. Parallels in stories and origins have been identified over the years where La Llorona is concerned. Some scholars have even pointed out similarities between La Llorona and Chihuahcoatl of Aztec mythology. Chihuahcoatl is one of the many Aztec goddesses of motherhood and fertility. According to the legend, Chihuahcoatl abandoned her son, Mixcoatl, at a crossroads, never to see him again. The Aztecs believe that she often returned to crossroads and would weep for her lost son. Similar parallels have been noted beyond even just the Aztec connection. Author Ben Radford's own investigation into La Llorona, which was published in Mysterious New Mexico, noted elements of similarity with a German folk tale dating as far back as 1486.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah. So the first published reference to La Llorona was in a Mexican sonnet written by Manuel Carpio in the late 1800s.
Hmm.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
It was like 400 years.
Bit.
Yeah. 400 years of story. You figure that's all oral history, as, you know, of 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
to me, that's just incredible.
Well, tracing it back to elements of a story from a German folktale in the 15th century makes sense, because the royal families were all intermarrying with each other, especially the Spanish and the what are their names?
Hansel and Gretel.
The German?
No.
Oh, the
Habsburgs.
What are you talking about? Habsburgs?
The Habsburgs.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't even just them. I mean, you figured the English, and then if you look at the Medici family in Italy.
Well, just the Spanish royal family intermarrying with the Habsburgs specifically, that ties the German to the Spanish to the New World.
Well, yeah, that's true. Huh. So you think that the story actually originates in Germany and was adapted?
I don't know if you have this too, but I mean, she also kind of sounds like the Lamia from Greek mythology.
I agree. Here's the thing. Here's my view on it is that given that there is Greek mythology, there is German stories, there are obviously Spanish tales, there's tales throughout Latin America, shit, we have our own La Llorona, her name is Casey Anthony, all that stuff. The women going a little haywire and hurting their children is nothing new. It's not a new theme. So this, like I said, as a fable, this is a cautionary tale. And so this is trying to prevent that from happening. Do I think it actually happened? Absolutely. Do I know that it was a girl named Maria? No. I mean, maybe not. I'm sure that throughout history there has been
one. I assume
it's
just a common name.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's kind of like John Smith. Right. But I think that women hurting their own children has been a theme before in the past. It's something that happens all over the place. So, you know, this cautionary tale, I think, is everyone's, this community's, you know, way of trying to deal with that and trying to stop things from happening, you know.
I mean, I like to think that all folklore is intertwined throughout history, no matter what culture you're part of.
For sure.
That's because people are all intertwined throughout history.
Of course, yeah.
So. Well, and if you look at all folklore anyways, I mean, a lot of it carries with it some sort of lesson or some sort of teaching moment for whoever is going to be the recipient of it, right? So, I mean,
I think the only thing
really
that's real
is no
Krampus.
Different.
I mean, that's the big thing about, I mean, this is folklore, but it kind of borders on like an urban legend, and it's all cautionary tales.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Right.
Scare children.
Now, there was a movie that came out with this, right? Did you guys see it?
Yeah, there was. I did not see it. I have not seen it yet.
I was really surprised. So I was looking at this, and I was really surprised to see that this was a part of the Conjuring, sort of, what do they call it, like the Conjuring universe or whatever, that whole sort of franchise.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's what, it, what I'm...
Well, no, not in real life, but I mean...
No, not in real life, but when I
looked
movie, at the movie...
cinematic universe.
Yeah, it said it's part of
the Conjuring
universe.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't think the Nun is a real story.
Actually, it is.
Well, fuck me.
So,
I mean,
so actually it is. So yeah, and Zach did a whole section on the movie and like what it brought in and revenue and stuff like that. But honestly, I would rather tell you guys another cool story than talk about a movie that I haven't even seen.
It's interesting that if it's they made it part of the Conjuring, but I assume that's just to get Ed and Lorraine Warren involved.
Oh yeah, because their name means money. That money.
But I don't even know that they were a part of this movie because, like I said, I haven't seen it. And the movie didn't do that well, apparently. So.
No.
Hmm. Weird.
I'm trying to find the origin of the Nun because I actually have read the actual no shit Nun story.
Hmm.
I haven't seen that movie, and I'm afraid to.
It's really not scary.
Me out.
It's not really that scary, to be honest. No, it's really not. I mean, God knows if I see a fucking nun standing in the corner of my room in the dark now in the middle of the night, I'm going to be a little freaked out. But
I'm going to shoot it.
But as far as movies go, I was pretty disappointed.
Okay.
It really wasn't all that good. Okay, so you know what? Let's go ahead and let's talk about Duende.
Oh, I had a question.
Okay.
We can talk about La Lechuza.
I did have a question before you get into that. So is La Llorona a big part of the Day of the Dead by chance? Does she tie it into
no.
the Day of the Dead at all?
No.
Nah, that's, yeah.
Okay, so Day of the Dead.
I get the concept of Day of the Dead. It's the honor, like your chance to speak with past family members that have passed on. I just didn't know if there's anything, if she had any part of it.
No.
See, we're learning.
We're learning. Yay.
We are.
I did have to explain to somebody where Oaxaca is, or what
oh,
it was.
Oaxaca, Mexico.
I love Oaxaca.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Well, I mean,
I like their cheese.
There, but their cheese is delicious. Their clay is amazing. Their
I like the revolutionaries.
I like the revolutionaries. I mean, there's just a lot going for Oaxaca.
I mean, that's also where, if you're gonna go to do Day of the Dead, that's where you would go, right?
That is where you would
go. Yes, it is.
That's birthplace of Frida Kahlo, isn't it?
Oh.
I don't think she's from Oaxaca.
I think she is. Hold on. Wait.
Now we've got a Google battle. Who will get it first?
All right. Well, wait a minute, because I can't. Well, all right, Carrie, you look that up, because now I got to tell him about the story behind the nun. Because I already have that up.
She was born in Coyoacan, Mexico City.
Did she reside in Oaxaca?
Let's see.
This is how Carrie does her research.
This is how Carrie is fucking phenomenal.
I'm pretty sure she has her own search engine that she uses.
So she did live there at Casa Azul with Diego Rivera.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. I knew that she was there at one point because they actually have a whole, she had very distinctive jewelry, and it is something that the people of Oaxaca have kind of taken, and they have started to develop, well, not started, they developed this jewelry that she used to enjoy, and they sell it, and it's one of their crafts that they sell from that region of Mexico.
Did that man, Diego, become Zorro?
No.
No, he is like number one most, like maybe not most famous Mexican, but like big, big deal.
Yeah. Do you know who Frida Kahlo was?
The lady with the eyebrows?
Yeah.
I mean,
she
I know
so
of
much
her picture.
More.
I,
so
I
much.
Know of her picture.
I hope you heard the pain in my response.
I know her. I know of her picture. I don't really know of her. No.
Please.
Is she like a revolutionary? No, she's an artist.
She was revolutionary in many ways.
But not a revolutionary.
But not a revolutionary, no. She
well,
was in between. In between.
I mean,
she lived in between revolutions.
Oh, she
I
was
mean,
an artist because
still
she kept doing self-portraits.
Yeah,
she was
not
part,
just self-portraits. But
she was
like,
part of the Mexican Communist Party. That's how she met Diego Rivera. She was bringing back the Mexican folk culture.
She was one of the things, reasons why I say she was a revolutionary is because she was bisexual. Am I right, Karen?
And disabled.
And disabled in a time when Mexico was extremely conservative, and that was just not something that you could be forthright about. And she wasn't necessarily
was
forthright about it.
And a feminist.
But she definitely wrote a lot in her journals about it and about how it made her feel. She's also deeply depressed.
What was her disability?
So she had polio when she was a child.
Oh, man.
And she also was in a bus accident And after that, she wasn't able to walk for 3 months, and it caused her pain for the rest of her life.
Yeah, wow. I think she had to wear, like, special shoes.
And special braces, too.
Yeah, and one of her, I think one of her shoes had to be, like, the sole on it had to be thicker than the others, the other one.
Because her hips were thrown out of place. And then it also...
Hips don't lie.
It also, her body was so damaged from it that I think she was unable to have children. She I know she had miscarriages because of it.
And she struggled with that so much. So actually, she started a movement in that region, which is how Oaxaca really became cemented as the place to go for Dia de los Muertos, because she would try and conceive, and she would obviously, you know, at some point she would lose the baby. And she is one of the first ones that came up with this concept that you can still mourn that child as if it was a child. Like, everything that a child that was born alive would get, you know, her children, her stillborn babies would get as well. So they, like, would make, so for instance, for Dia de los Muertos, they would make a whole section in the city for these women who had experienced this loss to come and to grieve and to mourn their babies that had never necessarily been born. And they had a whole special deal, and you could come in and you could see, I don't remember what they're called. They're called something special, though. Carrie, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the name of them.
I got to make separate tabs.
I've gotten you all sidetracked.
Well, I mean, it's okay, though. You know, like, this, I think this is important. This is an important conversation.
It's definitely interesting.
I mean, her health problems were so severe, all relating back to that bus accident. She had to have her appendix out. Her toes became gangrene. They had to be amputated.
Damn.
That's awful.
She only lived to 47 because of all of the damage under her body.
I mean, that sucks.
Yeah, because of her spinal problems, she had to wear, like, supportive braces or corsets. She had infections in her hand, and then thanks to good old Diego, she had syphilis as well.
Just the cherry on top.
Yeah, and struggled with depression, too.
I mean...
Who wouldn't?
That is the triple crown of shittiness.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, her entire right leg was amputated at the knee because it became gangrene as well.
And they gave her a robotic leg, so they rebuilt her better.
Unfortunately not, but...
No.
Well, you can dream.
I feel like I'm not finding it, but I think it's called, like, Angelitos or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's called something like that.
What's that?
The babies.
Oh.
Hold on, let me try this.
Duh, babies.
I'm pretty sure that's what they're called. Angelitos.
Is that like a special? I assume that's like a special part of the day of the dead.
Yeah, it's like there's a church. I think it's a church, and, you know, like, don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure that there's like a church, and that church is just devoted to Angelitos, and for people to come in and mourn those particular.
Yeah, you're right. I found it. Los Angelitos.
Yep.
Stands for angel babies.
Boom! Look,
little angels.
Know.
Yep.
Yeah, so so she actually is the one that started that. That came from Frida Kahlo, because she had losses, and she thought that it was wrong that she was expected to not mourn these children. And I agree.
That seems
kind of
weird.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Just be like, well, just, you're going to have to get rid of it. Don't think about it.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean,
Fuck up, baby.
In the world right now, today, that's how women are treated. When they have a stillbirth or when they have complications and they have to get that, you know, to make whatever decision they ultimately make.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Amazon.
I would totally agree with that.
Like, it's terrible that women are treated that way. It's terrible that women are not given, you know, like, it's not like, in these cases, this is not something that was unwanted. This is just a terrible tragedy. Oh, now I'm all emotional. But
well, do you think we should finish off with sightings of La Llorona?
Yeah, we can. Yeah.
Before we get into the
next
the,
rambling
the
offshoot
feminism content podcast.
I don't know. I don't like talking about the sightings. Let's see.
Why not? You think they're bogus?
I don't think they're bogus. I just think, let's see. All right, here. We'll just read them, and then I'll give you my play-by-play. One video shows men driving down an unlit road at night where they stumble upon a white, shuffling humanoid figure. Okay, so I've seen this video. It is creepy as shit. Understandably frightened, the men threaten the figure by driving toward and backing up, but to no avail, scaring off the solitary figure. That's all we see in the blurry video, though this seemingly perpetual game of chicken before the vehicle backs away completely and drives off. So did they, in fact, see La Llorona? Maybe they just also staged the entire event.
I mean, that's kind of the question.
Wouldn't be hard to do.
Yeah, womp, womp, womp. Yeah, so that's the thing about La Llorona. Like, it's just like Chupacabra, right? So... that's why I don't want to go through, like, I enjoy thinking of La Llorona in much the same way that I think of Santa Claus. Like, I think that it's just a beautiful piece of folk tale, you know, like folk history. And I don't want to, like,
based on somebody that lived 500 years ago.
Yeah. And I don't want to taint it with some guys that, you know, like some shit that could just muddy the waters. That's how I feel about this stuff.
That's why Krampus is so awesome, because he's actually real.
Yeah, I believe in Krampus.
Fetch my drowning tub.
All right, so there's another story from a man named Epifanio Garcia, who claimed to have seen La Llorona after an argument with his parents at the family ranch in Ojo de la Vaca, which Ojo de la Vaca is known for, is actually known for a couple of other.
Is that I have the horse?
What's vodka?
It's I of horse or good or something?
It's a cow.
Oh, it is a cow. Yes, it is a cow.
Because in French, cow is vache.
Yeah.
Oh, I contributed to the Spanish.
Congratulations.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm gonna drink the juice of a vodka later.
There you go.
Ew.
It's milk, damn it.
La leche.
It's vodka juice.
Gross.
La leche.
The milk?
Yeah. Okay. On his way to Villa Real de Santa Fe with his brothers, who had decided to leave with him, a woman in black tapelo and matching net covering her face appeared in the seat between them. The figure remained seated until Garcia turned the horses around and headed home, at which point the figure finally broke the silence and said, "I will visit you again someday when you argue with your mother." Motherfucker! That particular story, whether believed or not, is surely enough to send shivers down the spines of most. I don't know. I just
that figure would never. That figure would never visit me again because I never argue with my mom.
Oh my God, that figure would be with me like all the time.
That figure would be right here in the cell. She would be sitting in my lap right now. Stroking my hair.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm the abnormal one of the bunch.
You are the abnormal one of the bunch.
I mean, I don't have a lot of conflict with my mom. I'm not going to say I never argued with her.
I'm just a sweet angel baby. I don't really argue with a lot.
It's a sad Pisces, Cancer, Libra
right.
thing.
I was just gonna say, pull out the chart.
And I'm just sitting over here trying not to kill him most of the time, to be honest with you.
It's just because I'm so sensitive, man.
You're so sensitive.
You don't think about my feelings.
I take offense to everything.
I mean,
Christopher.
Is that a bad?
He was offended earlier because he stuck his sweaty ass, gross feet in my face.
I
would not get them out of my face, so I punched him in the nuts, and he got offended. He was like, "Why would you do that? Why would you do that?" He was like, "That's such an escalation. Why would you do that?"
Is that an escalation? Because I feel like that's like an under a de-escalation, if anything.
Yeah, right. Because he probably wasn't putting his feet in your face anymore after that.
No, he wasn't. He was rolling around crying.
Well, that's also because I kicked the freaking hope chest that's sitting in front of the couch. That's what prompted. I was just hoping you would kiss my foot and make it better.
No.
Not happening.
I kissed him all right. Okay, so a Belizean writer, Angel Nunez.
Angel
Nunez.
I'm just spitballing.
Okay. Right. Well, I think you're right, technically. Writes a very specific and unique take on La Llorona, according to local legends in San Pedro, Belize. Oh, no, we're in Belize now. Their local legend depicts La Llorona as a beautiful woman who also lures men away from their wives, never to be seen again. Her origins remain quite like the overarching legend, as do her methods. Although the locals in San Pedro seem to have taken a far more direct approach in dealing with La Llorona.
They just shoo her away. Get out of here. Get.
They have accepted the legend as part of their lives and warn others to avoid the waters when a wailing woman can be heard, a supposedly common occurrence there. Children taken by La Llorona are rarely ever seen again, and those who are found still alive were often mute for the rest of their lives.
What?
Other children would often become sick days later and die.
What?
Damn.
That's what I said.
I think in that sense, it feels like the folk tale is used as a way for people to conveniently kill their children and then blame it on a spirit.
It could be that too.
Although the whole thing of if they're found alive, they're mute. Like that's interesting. What do they do? Cut their tongue out?
Yeah, that's. No, they're just scared so bad that they can't speak anymore.
Yeah. Although that's an interesting concept, is that La Llorona is she's not there for the kids. She's there for the men.
She's there for the men.
She's trying to get that flesh dick. She don't want that ghost.
Oh.
Oh, God. Christopher, why? Christopher.
Fleshlight.
The fleshlight.
The fleshlight.
Like the deadlights, but then also like the flesh dick. Works on so many levels.
Grody bagody.
So many levels. I mean, I guess technically that would be a succubus, yeah?
What's that?
A succubus.
What about it?
Succubus
is a demonic entity that lures men to steal their essence, yes.
Is that the woman is the succubus, yes. And the incubus is the man?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And the woman is trying to get impregnated by men, whereas the incubus is trying to impregnate women.
Okay, well.
Trying to make demons.
La Llorona is kind of like a succubus.
Oh, but she ain't getting...
In this way, yes.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what that would feel like.
You should try it. Dan Aykroyd tried it.
This is true.
Yes, he did.
Hey, man. You know, sometimes just... No, he didn't. No, he cuddled with the spirit. That's what it was.
No, they had sex.
Mm.
He, in the interviews, he talks about it.
I remember him talking about, like, cuddling with it.
No. He talked about getting his dick sucked by a spirit.
Oh, man.
That is a thing. Yeah, you pull out your phone. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to look up Dan Aykroyd ghost
talks about
dick suck.
getting his dick sucked by a spirit. And then he, so that was the inspiration for him to put it into Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Dan Aykroyd, spiritual blowjob. Google it.
I'm not Googling that. Cool. I'm going to get some weird porn and be put on a weird
list.
I'll
Google it. I don't care. My CIA, my NSA agent has already quit multiple times.
What?
My NSA agent that monitors me is like, I don't, listen, this is not going to work.
God. I'm not really seeing much.
I'm going to do ghost sex.
I mean, go for it. Have ghost sex. Really confuse that NSA agent. Like, what the fuck is she doing now?
The last time I think he quit is when I Google searched if Asian people have straight pubic hair.
Why is that something you wanted to know?
I just wondered. I just wondered.
This is why the internet sometimes is not beneficial to us.
Hey, the answer is yes, in case you're wondering. For many of them. Not all, obviously, but like many of them have straight.
And we've lost every Asian listener.
Well, I mean, why?
So weird.
So weird.
If they leave because their pubic hair is straight, I feel like that's fucked up. That's on them. That's bad on them.
Let me just say, this is the one thing I love so much about this show is just the random shit that I learn.
That you didn't know you needed to know?
That I didn't even think about trying to know.
This is why we have a hard time having conversations, because your mind is going to weird, weird places.
Well, that's why I'm Aquarius rising.
Huh?
That's why I'm Aquarius rising.
There you go.
Because I got that weird shit going on. I got that weird shit going on.
I don't know what Aquarius is.
I don't know why I was wondering that, honestly.
That is so funny.
About
that's so random.
Yeah, it was because that was when I was still
Did
working.
Did you see a porn?
No, I was working for Black Horse, and I think I was no, I know what it was. So I read an article about this woman who was decorating her own pubic hair, and she was like talking about how she styles it and like does little like cornrows and shit like that and puts glitter in it and all sorts of stuff. And I was just like, Jesus, that's that'd be really kinky. Like, I don't understand how you would do
that. Too much.
And I was like, well, shit, does she straighten it? And then I was like, well, wait a minute. Does she need to straighten it? Do other people have straight pubic hair? Because I do not. And I don't think I've ever encountered anyone that has straight pubic hair. And apparently these people exist. And most of them are Asian, because that's just how Asian hair works.
Oh my God.
So then I was like, what the fuck does that look like? Because I can't imagine.
Oh, my God.
I can't imagine. Like,
and you were directed to pornography sites.
I might have taken a gander.
Hey, babe, gander means something different than what you think it means.
Oh, does it? Because I think it means exactly the way I meant
no,
it.
No, I don't think it means what you think it means. You
mean
keep using that word, but does it mean what you
You mean a look? Like a gander, take a look? Like I just said.
I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right?
Christopher. All right, so I fucking have this shit about Dan Aykroyd. I'm not bullshitting.
Okay. Tell me about it.
Hold on. I'm trying to get to
Lay it out there.
It's giving me a lot of foreplay here, so I got to figure out where
Just like La Llorona would.
Oh, man, it might be an air view. Hold on. I'm not doing that.
I'm telling you, it's just the fact that he cuddles.
Get your stank ass feet off me.
You're going to get junk punched.
Oh my God.
No, her arms aren't long enough.
Blah, blah, blah. The book also explains the full reasoning behind the infamous ghost blowjob.
I'm telling you, I was
poem.
Correct.
An interlude that remains to this day one of the worst scenes in an otherwise fantastic film. I thought it was fine.
This is kind of random.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Judging by the fact she hasn't found it yet, I'm probably right.
I'm seeing that they were.
She just doesn't want to admit it. Right?
Hold on.
So, Stacey, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I know, pretty good.
He doesn't talk about it in here.
How was your day today? Did you have a good day at work?
You know, it was pretty good. I spent a good chunk of it just trying to pull up floor tiles. That was a fun time.
Yeah, we just ripped linoleum out of our house, so I feel you on that.
I saw. It looks good.
Yeah, it was a lot of work.
I'm telling you right now. Dan Aykroyd. Well, it's not. It's just not in here. Like,
I'm telling you. Did you listen to the Dan Aykroyd interview?
I did.
That last podcast people did?
I sure did.
And they talked about that inspiration.
Yeah.
And it was from, and I know what Dan Aykroyd has done because I did the research for the ghost sex episode. And it wasn't that he had sex with a ghost. Instead, he had cuddled in bed with one.
No, we talked about Dan Aykroyd in that one. I think we had the exact same fight then.
I think you did.
Dan Aykroyd tells Joe Rogan about the time he slept with a ghost and gives, and then I have to
Get
to it. And gives new Ghostbusters.
I'm waiting for Carrie to chime in and tell us that we're both wrong.
Carrie?
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd got his dick sucked by a ghost.
I'm telling you, that is
She's been looking it up this entire time, probably.
I didn't have to look it up.
Oh my god. I think I still am questioning that.
Hold on, I got you, boo. Aykroyd said his ghostly experience probably happened while he was filming the movie Dragnet that was released in June 26, 1987. An experience one night where something got into bed with me. I was alone and I don't know what went on there. Rogan asked if the encounter was sexual and the actor replied, well, it might. I think it was being come on to there. I think I was being come on to there. It did try and come on to me and I didn't refuse it. He got dick-tugged by a ghost.
Oh, man.
But now you're just putting words in there.
When asked if he resisted the sexual advancements by the ghost, Aykroyd replied, you know what? I snuggled up next to it and went to sleep. Uh-huh.
There you go.
He fucked a ghost.
He snuggled up next to it.
He snuggled.
Like, I like to snuggle, but you just push me away.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know he's got Asperger's?
I did, yeah.
I think we've talked about that, actually.
That's my contribution. He got six bucks back because he's got Asperger's.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if quite a few really successful individuals did.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Mark Zuckerberg?
Well, Mark Zuckerberg is just, he's an android.
Daryl
Hannah. I didn't know that. I just say it like I do.
Okay. I'm just saying that my Google history after doing a show is just always needs to be deleted.
Gary Newman has Asperger's too. From the Cars.
Can't see what you see.
Gary Newman in Cars. Yeah,
song. I'm sitting here watching one of our cats like slowly walk across the floor. That's not to disturb the dog.
The sleeping dog. All right.
Oh, man.
Before they wake up, we probably should go. All right, guys. Well, it has been a pleasure talking about La Llorona for all.
Probably like 20 minutes.
20 minutes. We talked about her. She's actually really cool. There's not really a whole lot more to the story necessarily. I would encourage you, if you're listening to this, to go on to YouTube and go ahead and take a gander at the That's right, I said it. Take a gander at the videos. There are some really creepy ones on there, and they will definitely get you set right for Halloween. So, you know, take a listen.
And if you want even more information, April did a fantastic article for.
Oh, I did. Thank you. I did. And it's got La Llorona. It's got Duende. It's got, I don't remember. Maybe La Lechuza. It's got, I don't know. It's got a bunch of other Latin American monsters in it, too. So enjoy, guys.
That's in Living Paranormal Magazine.
Yeah.
Did it come out yet?
Yeah, it came out.
Oh, it did.
Yeah. I mean, if you really cared about me, you would know. but it's fine.
Oh,
it's fine.
You're so mean to me. Why do you hurt my feelings?
It's the best cover I've ever had for one of my works. It's really good. So thank
you're
you,
so
Alex,
mean to
if
me.
You're listening.
I'm gonna go upstairs and cry after this.
Of course you are, Cancer.
You're calling me like Cancer to you?
No, you're a Cancer.
No, you're
to
Cancer.
Who?
Your astrological
to
sign,
all of us, Chris.
Sir, is a Cancer.
You're a Pisces with a Cancer moon, Libra rising.
I know. I'm just saying the way she said it made me sound like I'm a Cancer to somebody. Like I'm just a leech.
You would think that. You would feel that way about it because you are a Cancer. That's why you
and
feel like
sensitive. And you're uber sensitive.
Yeah, that's why I don't ride Uber very often because I'm sensitive to him.
Oh, my Lord. Right. You know what? Just
right,
it's time to
done.
End this. I'm ending it.
This. Right.
She just hangs so. Up.
Carrie's like, I'm calling it.
All right, everyone. Well, we hope you have a great week ahead, and we hope to see you next week. With
good to be back.
Yeah, with some episode on something cool.
don't want to spoil the lead.
Don't want to spoil it.
Even though it's out there, we don't want to spoil
it. We're doing a thing. All right.
Hey, we're definitely doing something.
We're doing something cool. Be here.
For Spooktober.
Nice.
Bye,
all right, guys. Thanks.
Bye.
See you next time.